Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. We have some important things to talk about. We're going to continue our discussion about the United States Senate. But I also, later in the program, want to give you an invitation to take part in an upcoming seminar online and an important national event that the RNC is getting ready for. So stay tuned for those details. And we'll talk about some of the current events going on in our country. But let's go to John chapter 14 first and listen to some of Jesus' words there on the night before he died. We have in chapter 14 of John, starting with verse 23. Jesus answered and said, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father." Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered to pray for America and to pray for one another, to pray for our leaders, to pray tonight in a particular way for the United States Senate, its deliberations, and the protection of our values as it deliberates, as it votes, as these 100 men and women chosen for such an important task, the making of our laws. Lord, we ask that this Holy Spirit that was promised by you, that dwells in us who follow you, will dwell powerfully in the hearts of those in the Senate who are your disciples, because you do have followers there, Lord Jesus. Send this promised Holy Spirit to them that they may accurately perceive and courageously pursue the values that need to be preserved and the actions that need to be taken to preserve them. We pray all this to you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, as we shared with you yesterday, the Senate has been called the greatest deliberative body in the world. The Holy Spirit is needed to do that. You want to deliberate about something, you want to make decisions, you want to discern, you want to vote, especially when so much depends on such a relatively small group of people. 100 men and women that get to decide whether monumental policies, some of them monumentally desirable, some of them monumentally stupid, whether these actually get passed into law. The House passes a lot of things, like we were saying yesterday from that story of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson's breakfast conversation. The hot cup, teacup, or coffee cup, the House, 435 people bring the convictions, the passions of the people of their districts together, and they vote on a lot of things. They pass a lot of things, good and bad, depending on what party has the majority. There have been great pro-life measures passed in the House. Great pro-life measures. Defunding Planned Parenthood, for example. Protecting babies from the time in pregnancy where they can feel pain all the way unto birth, and other pro-life measures. Plenty of great things have been passed in the House. Plenty of horrible things have been passed in the House. Federalizing our elections, taking away pro-life protections, etc. But in the Senate, it's harder to pass things. It's deliberately made that way by the founders. It's harder, and it's more evenly divided. Right now, it's split right down the middle, 50-50. Much harder to pass things in the Senate, also because to end debate on a particular measure and proceed to a vote, it requires not a majority, but a supermajority. It requires 60 votes. We're going to talk about why that's the case. Why is it necessary to get not a majority, but 60 votes in order to pass a piece of legislation in the Senate? Now, because of that provision, a lot of very bad measures have not been passed and are not going to pass during this particular Congress. Measures that the Democrats are trying to get through, for example, to take away all limits on abortion. See, what happens is individual senators might know, oh yeah, this would appeal to the base of the Democrat Party, or this would please the Democrat leadership if we had such an extreme bill as took away any restrictions whatsoever on abortion. But when I go back home to my state, which tends to be rather conservative for many of them, and the people start complaining to me about this, how am I going to explain it to them? How am I going to explain that I voted for something as radical as this? How am I going to explain to parents of minor age children that I took away the requirement to for them to be informed if their young daughter went to get an abortion? See, this is what saves us from a lot of these extreme policies, obviously. They have to go back home and explain it to their constituents. The reality that it takes 60 votes to get something passed in the Senate, with a few exceptions, reflects the reality that if you're going to have a policy that is considered extreme by a lot of the American people, well, then shouldn't there be a little bit more consensus among those very people before it's allowed to be passed? And so you see that there's this built-in mechanism to require more consensus around the country before something passes. And it could be considered extreme on either end of the spectrum of left or right. But the Senate is made in such a way as to require more American consensus. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself. Now, there are certain things that should be passed because they're matters of principle. Life always has to be protected and defended. But most of these things are not matters of principle, but matters of policy that can go either way. Now, if you didn't have the requirement that 60 votes be cast to close debate and pass on to a vote, you could pass a lot of things by a simple majority vote. And then in the next election, to only takes the loss of two Senate seats, all of a sudden the vote happens the other way. Senate changes party hands, committees change, pieces of legislation, bills get through that wouldn't have gotten through before. Now there's another vote, and it's 51-49 in the opposite direction. So the other half of the country that was pleased in the previous Congress is upset in this one. If at any given time you have half the country being enraged, not a good thing either. The country is very divided, although not as much on some of these fundamental issues as the Democrats want us to think. But the country is very divided. And so the question is, you know, do we just pass very consequential legislation when there's such a slim majority? Or do we try to build a little bit more support for the positions or challenge the other side to show where the support is for their more radical bill? So what this revolves around, and later, as I say, I'm going to give you an invitation to take part in an event that will affect all of this, is the filibuster. I talked about the structure of the Senate, 100 people, each of them serving a six-year term, one-third of the Senate being up for election every 2 years. Now let's talk about this, what this filibuster is. So the Senate gets together, a particular bill is introduced in committee. If it passes out of committee for consideration for the by the entire Senate, debate begins. The bill is open. Debate begins. How long does that debate last? That's what this question revolves around. How long should the senators have to try to persuade one another, whether by public speeches or private meetings, to vote a particular way on a particular bill? How much time should they have to study it, to read it, to get information about it, to hold hearings? Well, that's an open question. There's not like a fixed amount of time that a particular bill should have. Well, the only thing that closes is that session of Congress, and the sessions of Congress last 2 years. As American history went on, once the Senate was created, this question became more and more prominent, because sometimes senators would just endlessly delay debate on a particular measure that they didn't want to pass. And one of the ways you keep something from passing is to keep it from coming to a vote in the first place. So this is where the concept of the filibuster comes in. Filibuster means endless debate so that you don't come to a vote on a particular measure. Well, 1917 came around, and senators adopted a rule. It's called Rule 22. And that allowed the Senate to stop debate or limit debate by what's called cloture, sort of like closing, right? You're going to close debate, cloture, and you're going to proceed to vote. In other words, let's not just keep talking about this. Let's vote yes or no. So once you invoke cloture, then there's a little bit more time for debate, but it's limited, and then the vote is going to come. When this rule was first established in 1917, it required for cloture, in other words, to bring an end to the debate, it required two-thirds of the senators. That's a steep hill to climb, two-thirds of the senators. In 1975, they changed it, and they changed it to requiring what the rule is still now, 60 votes instead of two-thirds, 66, 67. Now it's 60 votes. And that's where we are right now. So if one party does not want to come to a vote, and they threaten to just delay and delay and delay, then 60 votes are necessary to close and to stop that delay. Now, there were two changes that took place in the last decade. In 2013, when the Democrats were in control, they said, we don't want to have this apply anymore to the confirmation of judges, federal judges, because remember, the Senate has to approve appointments that the president makes to the federal courts. So this did not include the Supreme Court. But in 2013, the Democrats said, oh, you know, if we're voting for an appellate court, if we're voting for a district court judge, let's just have a simple majority required for that vote and not have to have 60 votes to stop debate. And also this applied to cabinet positions and other executive branch positions, again, that the president would nominate and the Senate would have to confirm. And so that went through. Now, that actually helped us as well. You know, what helps one side helps the other in these kinds of rules, because then we got a lot of good conservative judges on the courts as well. Then in 2017, so not that long ago, when the Republicans were in charge, they said, okay, we're going to apply the same change now to Supreme Court justices so that we only need 51 votes. We don't have to have these justices filibustered and require 60 votes, which we usually wouldn't have that many in order to stop debate and go ahead to a vote. That took place in 2017, and that's why we were able to get the great Supreme Court justices that President Trump appointed. That's why we were able to get them confirmed, because this filibuster rule was no longer going to apply to the Senate votes for Supreme Court justices. So now the only thing that the filibuster still applies to is legislation. Again, there are a couple of exceptions. We don't have to go into those details right now, but most legislation in practice requires 60 votes. And it's not the ordinary situation that that either major party would have 60 senators. That, of course, can change with elections. It's not that it's impossible. It's not that it's never happened. That's called a supermajority. And that would be nice to accomplish in this election. That's hard with the Senate. That would be nice to accomplish in this election, wouldn't it, to be able to have a supermajority of senators. And where that really pays off is when a particular party has a trifecta, controlling the House, controlling the Senate, and controlling the White House. Then you have a trifecta with a supermajority is when you really can get some things passed. That's when you'd be able to completely defund Planned Parenthood, for example. That's when you'd be able to pass significant legislation giving significant protection to babies in the womb, and many, many other things on many, many other issues that we care about. With the Democrats in the majority, we have heard, you know, various people saying, oh, okay, now what you should do is you should get rid of the filibuster so that you can ram through your legislation. Again, if the country is so divided, and in fact, if what we would, as we would say, most of the country is opposed to the radical measures that we see the Democrats proposing and talking about, then this is where the filibuster provides a very, very important protection for America. And many have spoken up in favor of keeping this provision of the Senate rules, precisely because of what I was saying before. The value of consensus. Let's have more of a consensus in America. If a particular position is right, sell it effectively to the people. As well, always what we challenge the other side, right? They think their positions are so good. Make your case. The problem is they don't have a case, and their positions aren't good, and the people don't go along with it. We, on the other hand, know how to make the case for conservative values, pro-life principles, and people are flocking to those positions more and more. And that ties in with what action item I'll give you in a little while. So, brothers and sisters, let's pray. Let's pray, in fact, now for the Senate and for the preservation of these important dynamics that can protect us. Lord, we thank you for again the 100 men and women, two from every state, no matter how large, no matter how small it is, so that the states can be equally represented. We thank you for these men and women that serve in the United States Senate. And Lord, we thank you that right now our nation is being preserved from terrible and radical policies that Biden would sign into law if the House and Senate put those on his desk, but that cannot get to his desk precisely because of the filibuster in the Senate. We thank you, Lord, that this is a tool now which is serving the good of our country, which is serving our needs. We know, Lord, that in the past it has blocked some very good legislation to protect babies in the womb, to defund Planned Parenthood. We ask, Lord, that the voice of the people grow stronger on the issues that are right. Let the voice of the people grow stronger and be translated into successful elections, translated into effective lobbying, translated into action that will continue to promote support for what is right. Give the wisdom, O God, that you promised through the Holy Spirit to our elected legislators, to our U.S. senators. And Lord, now we pray your blessing also on the 34 states that will be having Senate elections in these midterms of 2022. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, specifically for these states, for the voters in these states, that they will indeed in this election make the right decisions, elect Republican pro-life candidates, America First candidates, America First. We pray for the people, for the voters in Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Missouri, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, Washington, and Wisconsin. Lord, we pray now boldly that you would purify from our midst, purify from the United States Senate, any of these senators that are up for election who do not love America, who do not love our freedoms, who do not believe in our history, who do not protect the fundamental right to life, who do not respect religious freedom. In short, Lord, we ask that the Democrat senators up for election be voted out of office. Let us repeat boldly again that prayer, that the Democrat senators that are up for re-election be voted out of office. Let us repeat boldly that prayer, Lord God, that you send back home the Democrat senators that are up for re-election, because that party, Lord God, has abandoned you, your principles, your truth, the principles of America. They've abandoned it. We are not blind. We are not deaf. We are not dumb. We see what has happened. We know what is occurring. It is clear for any thinking person. And as the Son of God has told us, let him who has ears to hear, hear. They have told us where they stand. And Lord, we oppose the policies and principles of this Democrat Party. And we ask once again, in this election, in the Senate elections, in these states that we have just named, that the voters will be wise enough to vote out of office the adherence to the Democrat Party. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And I can just hear it now on the part of some, not you who are watching, but on the part of some, oh, Father Frank, why are you, mixing up politics with prayer and religion? Well, because, when we pray about things that affect our lives. And what these people are doing in these powerful places affect our lives. They affect our children. They affect our families. They affect our communities. They affect our churches. If it affects our lives, we pray about it. If it affects the lives of our brothers and sisters, we pray about it. If it affects the lives, the futures of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we pray about it. Because it's God who's our protector. Let's talk about a couple of current events. My friend Gary Bauer, with whom I visited the other day in Washington, comes out with a great daily email. So he talked about this ongoing crisis at the southern border, which is, as he said, unbelievable. You know, people came to Washington over the weekend for a demonstration, and Nancy Pelosi put up a fence around the Capitol building. National Guard troops were mobilized and put on alert. But Pelosi won't build a security fence on the border where things are completely out of control. Biden won't send the National Guard to the border because he's a completely incompetent leader. That's why. We've got 15,000 people living under a Texas bridge. Haitians. The residents of Del Rio, Texas, are having increasing anger and anxiety over this, fearing a massive breakout of 15,000 people running into their rural community. And meanwhile, Biden was back at the beach house having an extended vacation. And talking about the Senate, Elizabeth McDonough announced that she could find no legitimate grounds under Senate rules that would allow Democrats to include a massive amnesty in the so-called human infrastructure bill. The left wants the amnesty because they want several million new left-wing voters. They're not interested in you, me, America. They're interested in one thing, and it begins with a P. Power. They're power-hungry, deluded, sick people. But you see, the Senate parliamentarians, see, the Senate, again, as the greatest deliberative body, it's got all kinds of rules. And the Senate parliamentarian can rule that certain things just are not in accordance with those rules. And that's what happened here. You know, we always have to be vigilant that those in power are trying to either bend the rules, break them, or throw them out the window to achieve their own purposes. And look at this Fox News poll saying 54% of Americans believe we are more divided now, 8 months after Biden, who should not be in the White House, than we were before, and only 37% thinking that we're less divided. Well, that poll makes sense because Biden has only stoked the divisions even more. And it's not that division by itself is a bad thing. It's just a real thing. We are divided. And the fact of the matter is that we've got to be on the... What we have to worry about is not whether we're divided or not. We have to worry about being on the right side of that division. And that brings me to a special invitation to you and an action item for tonight. I want to call your attention again to the website, prolifevote.com. Prolifevote.com is our election website over here at Priests for Life. And we're going to be having some online seminars starting very soon and on a regular basis all the way through the midterm elections. And we want to invite you to be part of them. They're going to be, of course, we're going to be talking on this program about a lot of election-related things, as we have been doing here about the U.S. Senate. But go to prolifevote.com and fill out, please, the form that's there. Look at all the other information, but fill out the form that you'll see there to volunteer your time and efforts. Because I know that if you're watching this program, you likely are already doing so. That is, giving of your time, not just voting yourself and making sure you're registered and informed, but helping others to do the same, helping others to be informed, be registered, get out and vote. And we want to show you what can be done. We want to begin doing it now, because as I have said already, the midterms have already begun. Sign up for the seminar. Join us. We're going to be having various online calls, discussions, leaders and experts will come on, and practical things that we can mobilize to do in the various states, in the various congressional districts, swing states, and so forth. ProLifeVote.com. Well, thank you, friends. Let's say the Lord's Prayer now. And again, we remember all your intentions as you leave those intentions in the comments. And let's pray again for all these things that we've been reflecting upon. We pray as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we will never be silent. Don't you ever be silent either, no matter who tries to tell you to shut up. Just like our 45th president, Donald Trump, we will defy them. We will defy the cancel culture and the politically correct mindset. The woke people, oh yes, we will defy them, and we will continue speaking the truth in Jesus' name. So may he bless you and protect you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God bless you, friends. Father Frank Pavone here. Follow us on social media, FR Frank Pavone, and Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. Connect with us on social media, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.